Well, hopefully at the end of the line, we've got the Leighton Orient CEO, Danny Mackling. Danny.
You have at the end of the line. Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. Yourself?
Yeah, these challenging times, doing well, thank you. And healthy, and very much hope all of your listeners are in the same boat.
Well, that's the main thing. It's the first thing we always say with any of these interviews at the moment. You and your family are okay, and everything's okay at the moment.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for in these times.
It's very trying, isn't it? And how's home life and everything else? Have you gone through all your box sets yet and your Netflix?
No, I've been full throttle at work. I'm pretty busier now than sort of ever have been. My wife's home tutoring our 7-year-old, which is just well because she's a teacher, so she's damn sight better at that than I am. But it's been good to spend some time at home. I have to admit, I don't do that very often, but it's been certainly working full throttle night and day at the moment to try and steer the good ship Orient through these very choppy and troubled waters.
Well, it is a difficult time. Now, obviously, that like most other companies in Britain, the furlough situation's hit Leighton Orient. Now, you had a very brief one yourself, did you?
No, we decided that we wouldn't furlough certain members of staff. That is a real sort of short list of people that haven't been. It's really sort of people like Colin, obviously on the ground staff, and Taylor as well, representatives of the media team and a few other staff, including myself, but that really is it. Everyone else is very much furloughed, and I want to take that moment just to thank them for their support during this really sort of worrying and challenging time. But above all else, I'm sure we'll get to it, we've got to put some more credit on the doorsteps of our board. Every single one of them, Nigel, Kent, Rich, Marshall, Matt, David, have absolutely been phenomenal. They taught me about leadership from the day I joined 2.5 years ago. And during this time, I've learned even more. It's their direction, their understanding, their empathy, but above all else, the absolute sheer determination to make sure that we come out of this in the best possible position we can, and a fully understanding of the challenges that this poses, not just us, but every single football club up and down the land.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with this is that you, with leadership, etc., you only really find out the quality of people when things go wrong, don't you?
You do. We've known for 3 years now, we've done a phenomenal board, and the times like this, you realise how fortunate we are have those guys at the centre of the club. And that comment goes as well for every single person on the Orient payroll, every single fan that's doing their bit, the supporters club, Loft, absolutely everyone's doing their bit. And I want to, I don't often put plaudits your way, Andy, but I'm going to do that. You're keeping this going, every single communication outlet, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a tweet. Everything that keeps communication going between Orient fans, and it's a cliche, but we are a family.
Well, I think it's important, Danny, that
I really want to applaud that.
Thank you.
Doing that at a difficult time.
I was speaking to Dave Victor and said to Dave, get involved. And Dave's, I think today actually interviewing Dean Cox for one of our extra shows. But I think I said to Dave, look, it's absolutely vitally important. We try and normalise as much as we can and keep people with a focus away from what is obviously a national disaster and onto something that they'd normally be focusing on, which is the football club and things pertaining to the football club. So where we can, even if it's just 20 or 30 minutes at a time, if we can just provide some normality and some distraction, then in a little way it's all helping. But coming back to what you said with the club, how is it that Orient have managed to do what so many other clubs haven't done, and that's to pay their staff in full, really?
Yeah, our board were committed to provide as much certainty as they could, as quick as they could. So we very quickly moved to make sure that all staff were paid in full for the months of March and April, making full use of virtually every football club as they're down in the EFL of the, I've got to applaud it, the furlough scheme that the government put in place. That's enabled us to keep positions going and to keep the club operating at a time when literally someone's turned off, as they have with many businesses, turned off the tap, as we rightly focus on the health of individuals and of the nation, and for a moment pause the economic considerations, and rightly so that we've taken that approach. But it's been something that we've been able to do through no other reason other than a board that is determined to do everything that it possibly can, and to take week by week, month by month, and we're addressing every single possible scenario, trying to reduce our costs in the short, medium, and long term. And this is a, you know, it's a stumbling block, but it's another part of the journey of getting to sustainability of Lake Norris Foreground.
I mean, the trouble is, we're venturing into unknown, Danny. I mean, you know, you can deal with certain certainties, but here we are, and I mean, in the life of a salesman, as you would know, commercially, there's no certainties. I mean, it's a very, very uncertain business to be in. But now more than ever, I mean, we are really in a situation where, is this company going to be able to do it? Is this company going to pull the plug? Is this one going to go? And not just Lake Norrin, across the board. So, I mean, how are you facing up to this?
Yeah, it is a cliche, but we're taking it day by day. We're making sure that we're in dialogue with all staff, football staff, non-football staff, pretty much every single day. We're keeping dialogue going, especially with those that aren't being furloughed, because they are very much, you know, holding the tiller and doing areas of the job they wouldn't normally be asked to do. These are unknown times. They're challenging times, but we'll get through it by really, really sticking together and making sure that we don't leave a stone unturned, and we reduce where we can in the short term. We defer costs where we can. We drive revenue where we can. And we make sure that when we are safe and able to open in a health and safety point of view in terms of hygiene, et cetera, that we're ready to go. We provide a confidence when someone comes to Bragg Group Stadium, whether it be for a match day or a non-match day event, that they feel, yeah, in a safe environment and safe as possible, that when we'll be doing everything we can, so when we can open back up, people can do it with confidence and hopefully get back to enjoying what we love, probably more than anything other than our families, is that joyous moment when you grab a winner. You know, just think back a year ago today to the sun. Those moments are what we treasure, and that's what we're clinging to, so we can have more days like that.
Now, I mean, I always found when I was involved with sales that you try and find a positive from a negative, or twist a negative into a positive if you're trying to sell something. You know, there's ways and means of turning a situation around. And I was speaking to Ross when he was on the show a few weeks ago, but I said to him, I just think in this current situation, the big boys are going to end up suffering probably more than the smaller clubs like Lake Norrin, where we can offer people who may no longer have the substance to support, let's just pick a club and say Arsenal, but they could come down a couple of levels and still provide a focus for their company, but at a lesser level, of course, but still a decent level for Lake Norrin.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our tagline of real football in the capital might need, in the short term, the word affordable added to it, and it is affordable family fun in the capital, and that's what we'll stick to. We'll probably expand our campaign as and when we're back playing games of football, and hopefully we'll be as relevant as possible to our current fan base, new fan base, for many years to come, well after coronavirus has done one.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I was saying to a couple of people I was speaking to that I honestly feel that as much as this is a terrible situation for everybody, obviously, but commercially, it may well turn out not too bad at all for Lake Norrin and clubs of their size.
At the moment, if I'm honest, it doesn't feel completely like that, but we've got a hard-working team that will make sure, you know, we're looking at sectors that have done well during this time and that will do well and that will need to advertise and will need to promote themselves when we come out of this. And that's our approach, is that, yeah, we're going to think differently to perhaps how we have in the past. We've got a number of key assets that are coming up for renewal and that are coming up to be put into market. That makes it more challenging. But because we are a club that puts our sponsors and partners at the forefront, people know that. And we'll work continuously round the clock to make sure that we continue to drive commercial revenues from all sources. And we have the reminder that every penny we drive is a penny that goes into Ross's and Martin's, you know, future playing budgets, future operational budgets, the academy, etc. And whilst that's still our objective, which it will be for many, many years to come, that's what we keep at the forefront of our mind.
Well, let's just take a look at you, Danny, because you've been around a while now in this sort of business, but you left school and you into university to study business studies and marketing. What was the decision behind that? What turned you towards that?
Yeah, I always wanted to get into sort of marketing and specifically business studies. It was my desire to get into football. I did a dissertation, obviously at university, focusing on a couple of clubs, Colchester United randomly and Gillingham. I'm trying to find it about, I think I wrote to a certain Mr. Porter and I think it was neglected. Do you know what? It was only the other day I thought that I must chase him up on that and see if he wants to respond. But all joking apart, yeah, that was my desire to get into it. And then, yeah, via cricket, I, and obviously via Southend, I've ended up at a club that I'm absolutely proud to represent, the CEO. And yeah, it's been a journey. And yeah, safe to say the last 12 months will be probably put a 10, 15 years on me, and I've lost what little hair I did have left.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got a BA with honours. You didn't do badly, did you? And
amazing what you can download from search engines these days.
There you go. So, I mean, you went to companies that weren't sports oriented. Well, unless there's something I didn't know about, but Flying Brands and is it AO UK? You went to?
I worked for a couple of different brands, mainly mail order, female fashion, randomly, and garden plant audio books. I worked in a number of different and varying industries for sort of 5-7 years or so, and straight out of university. And it was eye-opening. And
it gives you a grounding, doesn't it? It gives you a grounding because sales is still sales, whether you're selling a teacup or whether you're selling a football match, it's still a sale, isn't it?
Exactly that time, the right product, right time and all that stuff. But it was the burning desire to then get into sport.
So you got the opportunity. How did the opportunity come about with Essex?
Yeah, it was. I've been an Essex fan for the whole of my life and will remain so. And the opportunity came back up in 2008, and within about a minute of being offered the job, I very much accepted and enjoyed 8 blissfully happy years. They were not the best on the pitch; they are now. But it was really enjoyable. Worked my way up from marketing manager all the way through to commercial director, and thoroughly enjoyed my time there, and it was something I fondly look back on. It was really enjoyable,
because you had to change, obviously, because cricket's gone through a massive change over the last decade, hasn't it, with the 2020 and the different formats of the game, etc. So there were new opportunities perhaps commercially that weren't there before.
Yeah, there was a lot of untapped potential, and I think I've allowed the club to realize a great deal of that, and they've moved on to even greater things on and off the pitch since I left. But yeah, provided that platform for them to grow revenue, crucially, to market themselves to new audiences, including, I remember, as I said the other day on a tweet, I remember going to the Matcham Stadium, as it was then, for Gillingham Orient. I was going as a Gillingham fan and also working for Essex. And yeah, it was things like that where we were trying to open up partnerships in a similar way to what we do at Orient now.
So any chance of seeing 2020 at Leighton Orient?
We've done a couple of games with sort of disability squads and some various ethnic groups around East London, and yeah, never say never, but it would be good if we could ever do it. We've done a few bits, and we were just about to welcome Essex Cricket, obviously with their double winning last year. We were about to welcome to Briar Group Stadium later this, what would have been this season, and hopefully we'll be able to do that in the near future. And
years ago, Essex used to play down the road at the County Ground, didn't they, at Leighton?
Certainly at their home in east of London,
definitely. So you've done well with the cricket club, but then of course you studied for football clubs, and that opportunity came with Southend United. Now that's a bit of a hard sell, isn't it, down there?
There was challenging times. The club was going through a transition phase, and I strongly believe that they'll come out of it strongly. Obviously, we'll wait and see whether or not we're in the same division next year, depending on what happens. But it was a good club. They get, I think, some undue bad press sometimes. And I enjoyed my time there, and I learned a huge amount from the way that they were run in terms of how things could be done, how things are done. And yeah, that allowed me to gain the experience so that I could take my first CEO role back in 2.5 years ago.
Because they've got this never-ending problem with Fossett Farm, haven't they? And you always think they're going to move, nothing ever happens.
Yeah, it looks like they're there. Ron Martin, chairman there, he worked hard. I thought, I work hard. He takes it to a new level. And he works, night and day to do it. And it looks like his dream is now going to become a reality. And, it's taken a while. But, I think they'll be playing in front of a new stadium in the next few years, which is good for them.
Because you look at catchment areas, and we'll come on to Orient in a moment. But, I mean, with a club like Southend, I mean, it must be frustrating for you because, at the time, as their commercial wing, because there is a huge, huge catchment area that isn't being realised, isn't it, at that club?
Yeah, it's a one club town. and it's a large area and a large potential, and it's, yeah, clubs can count themselves lucky when they have that. Yeah, we're obviously at Orient in a densely populated area, but therefore we have to become even more relevant to our audience. But it's, yeah, your crowd can be as big as you like, but you've got to have the potential there, and you've got to realise that potential for it to be fully fruitful.
So you're doing okay at Southend. Obviously, as you say, Ron Martin's working hard. You're trying to find this, get this new ground sorted out. Now, Leighton Orient are out of the league, on their knees. You've got a pretty safe job there, I would have thought, at Southend. What was it that would lure you from the safety of Southend to the uncertainty of a newly relegated non-league football team?
When I saw the role advertised, I remember applying into March. I think I missed the original deadline because I hadn't spotted it, if I'm brutally honest. And within sort of 5 minutes of spending time with the board, specifically with Marshall, Matt, and I met with Martin as well, Nigel and Ken, pretty much met with everyone. Every single time, the interview process was, and rightly so, was three or four interviews. I went and met Nigel at his West London home, and it was every single time I got to the next phase, I was desperate to hear that I'd got through to the next one after that. And it was, you know, absolutely so refreshing to hear the club's objectives, the challenges that they were going to face, and the fact that as a board, they wanted to think outside the box, look at things like soccer camp, streaming, etc., etc. And yeah, every single time I've been down to Orient, it always seemed to be whatever team I was supporting that Orient would beat them. So I thought I might be able to take that luck into it as well. And it was, all joking apart, it was and is a phenomenally great community-centred club. And yeah, long may that continue. And it is a unique football club. We all call it our family. There's a reason we do that. It's because it is.
Yeah, I mean, you've transformed the revenue side of things substantially. Now, I mean, in a way, you're making a rod for your own back, of course, because you've got to increase every year on year on year. But yeah, it's a phenomenal rise percentage wise from what it was when you came in, isn't it?
Yeah, there was obviously an awful lot of neglect from that point for a few years prior to that. Obviously, prior to with previous owners, we had to start again to an extent, but yeah, we had a great board to support us, and the promise of entertaining and good football, which we certainly had. And every season, as we come up to a season ticket renewal, we're like, can we do this target? Can we do it? Yeah, we did, and we exceeded it. We did it by hard work, determination, and vision and drive from the board and all my staff members. I'm not going to take any of the plaudits for what's been achieved. It's been an absolute monumental team effort. The marketing team, sales team, operational teams, finance teams, etc. Absolutely everyone's played a crucial part in that. And that challenge will become even harder now. But I know we've got the team that will rise to it. At the same time of that, we have desperately got to get our losses down. Incomes have grown probably to where I'd like them, always want more, but that's the way I am. But we've got to get our cost base down, and that's the only reason that we're ever going to be able to get sustainable, to continue to raise our incomes whilst very carefully managing our costs. And that definition of a sustainable football club is getting very close, if not to break even. And do I think we can get there? Yes. Will it be challenging? Hugely. But we'll get there through that determined combined teamwork.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things that have changed, I mean, I can clock back to, say, 30 years ago and say that your season ticket sales now are six times higher than they were then. And when you think we were playing in a higher division than we are now, it's quite phenomenal, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and that's a testament to every single season ticket holder that's renewed down the years, and long may that continue. But it's done by a lot of hard work. There's an awful lot of new potential Orient fans that have come into the area. I reckon we've probably tapped into 1-2% of the local population. That's got to increase. And I want to have a day when we're regularly filling and selling out Briar Group Stadium. At the moment, it's happening a couple of times a year. We have got a massive population on our doorstep. I watched when my little and Jacob was up this morning with my other boy, Harry. This morning, I was sadly watching location. I've ridden this get out more at 4:15 in the morning. And that was filmed in Leytonstone. That was just sort of it was filmed a couple of years ago, but there's couple of guys moved into the area, and they didn't mention Orient. They said they look massively into sport, but there's not much sport around. I'm just thinking, you're a mile away from the Briar Group Stadium. You haven't mentioned it. You say you're massively into your sport.
Yeah.
And it's just, that was just another alarm call in my head. I was thinking, you know, when we get back out there, we're going to put everything up a notch. And, yeah, we all play a role in spreading the word, whether we're living in Leighton or living in Chelmsford. We've got to all play that role in being marketeers for Leighton Orient, because there ain't nothing better than that place when it's buzzing and well full.
I mean, we're all, as I said before, we're in this uncertain period where no one can really say for certain when or if the season will restart. I mean, do you feel that 100% we'll be restarting the previous season, the season? Because I find it hard to believe we will be starting another season before we finished another one.
I don't even say anything about 100% at the moment. I hope we do, because I think for the integrity of the competition, it needs to happen. It would be devastating if those teams that have been knocking on the door, the likes of Swindon, etc., most of the season, if they're not rewarded with that, and the same with teams that are in and around the playoffs at the moment. But yeah, right now, clearly the health of the nation is far more important than that. But yeah, hopefully at the right and appropriate time, attention will turn to the less important matter of that. And hopefully there can be a way around it. I'm sitting on various panels with the EFL, and we've got regular calls with League One and League Two chairmen and CEOs, and we've all pretty much got that determination that happens, and we hope that it can, because the alternative of not playing the games is even more expensive than what it is at the moment. But at the same time, if you're playing games behind closed doors, clearly you've got pretty much all of your costs for little revenue. But that's where our little thing called streaming may all of a sudden become an even more important product of our mix. And,
problem you've got there, Dan, is you're quite right. You know, 5,000 people potentially would want to watch it on a stream. But, of course, you've got your season ticket holders who would scream, hang on, I've already paid for the home games. So you'd have to balance that out, wouldn't you? I quite agree. I mean, I think obviously you'd be looking in the thousands of viewers rather than the hundreds. So there is a revenue stream there. You're quite right that would cut the loss, if you like, to the end of the season. But if we go, I think that's more likely that that's going to be the outcome myself, that there'll be some closed door matches to finish the season. I mean, I think that's quite likely to occur.
I think that's a likely scenario. I wouldn't say, but definitely it will be that. I think that's one option. It would certainly be an option that will be being carefully considered by the authorities. And we're very much in dialogue with them to make sure that we're making sure that we're discussing as much as we can every scenario that can happen.
Well, it would lessen the responsibility to the club by way of local authorities and policing, etc., wouldn't it? Because it would just be literally looking after the staff of the other club that turn up and getting the match done.
Yeah, from that point of view, it will make it easier. But let's just hope we can do it in a safe environment and we get back to that lovely thing called normality as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah, now, if this drags on, now, it was just a point I was making to somebody the other day, if this drags on a little bit and we're having a look at contracts that are finishing and new contracts to be issued, do you feel that potentially the lower leagues could be offering new contracts part-time basis to players if this drags on too long because of costs, as you say?
Yeah, I think there'll be one option where players clubs and players need to look at potential extensions for a month or two, whatever that needs to be. Typical football contract will run to the end of July. Who knows if we're able to complete the season by then, but that'll be very much one of the key considerations is the welfare of players and making sure that a player is out of contract is that they're protected as best they can. And there'll be clubs that have 20 players out of contract, there'll be clubs that have half a dozen out of contract, and there's got to be a measurement put in place to make sure the integrity of the competition is kept. If a club opts, for example, to not renew 20 contracted players, and then there are other players potentially inferior sides, perhaps with their youth team, that then brings some integrity questions into it. So whatever the solution, I think there'll be winners and losers with this.
Right. Well, let's hope we're one of the winners, whatever happens. And just reminds me to thank you for taking the time to speak to everybody today, Danny. And obviously, as we said at the start, wish you good health to you and your family. And let's hope we're all back at the Brea Group Stadium before too long.
Yeah, pleasure, Andy. And I'll say it again to every Orient fan out there. Thank you so much for the support that you're giving. above all else, hope you and your families are well, and let's just savour that moment. We will be back at the Briar Group Stadium. We'll be back with the family, and let's just remember that moment. But stay well, stay healthy.
Thanks very much, Dan. Bye now.
Okay, bye.